Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. I am so very grateful for you and for what God has done in and through you and continues to do. And so I'm excited. I get to call my mom later this afternoon, and can't imagine my world without her in it and everything that she's done. And today being Mother's Day, it is very interesting to me. Almost sometimes it felt like a cruel joke that today I would be talking about marriage and wives submit to your husbands. So you need to know I come with fear and trepidation today. But more importantly, I come just confident that somehow God in His timing is okay with this. The series that we're going to be starting today is all about marriage. In fact, it's titled The Mystery of Marriage. And ladies, we are addressing God's instruction to wives today. But next week, men, it will be towards you. So if you don't show up, woe be unto you. I will tell you that marriage is, in fact, a mystery. It's so much more than some sort of civil union. It is a picture of who Jesus Christ is with His bride, the church. It is reflective of the very image of God in man. It is something deep and marvelous. It produces life. It gives fellowship. It's all these things. It's definitely worthy of calling mysterious. But there's also something else mysterious in the room this morning, and that is the love of a mother. Amen. A love of a mom is sacrificial. And I was thinking about that today, and it's far deeper than most of us understand, even though we've been the recipients of it all of our life. It is powerful, it's sacrificial at its core. If you doubt this, I have one word for you today that I believe summarizes this entire argument. Are you ready? Laundry. Now, I know some of you men in here have done laundry. Good for you. I'm proud of you. But, and I know that even in the culture we're living in, the fact that I'd say laundry and equate it with wives would be so frowned upon. But can we all be honest this morning that moms have done more laundry than it is humanly possible to calculate? And when you think about it, I wrote this down for myself. I can only think of one other person who has given so much, so selflessly, to keep those they love clean. And His name is Jesus. So moms, thank you for modeling your Savior to us. And we're so thankful for you today. I'm praying you'll still like me at the end of this sermon, because now we're going to address wives, but really we're going to be talking about marriage for the next 2 weeks. We may squeeze into a third depending on how far we can get. But I want you to hear this. As we talk about marriage today, listen to this phrase. Marriage is all about submission to sacrificial love. That is for both the man and the wife, the husband and the wife, both of you are within the sphere of submission to sacrificial love. And ultimately, the chief illustration, the thing that is at the center of marriage by God's design, is Jesus Christ. Because He is the greatest illustration of both realities, submission and sacrificial love. And you'll find that as we go into this passage, if you stray from Jesus Christ, then you stray from any of this making sense at all. But in Christ, it has the power to not only give life and joy and health to your marriage, it has the power to be an illustration of the gospel in some of the most profound ways. When we go into chapter 5 and chapter 6 on this next slide, what you're going to find is that God has a standard or standards for marriage, for parenting, and for work. And all these three topics flow out for the next season in this letter. And in this, we find God's pattern of relational authority and design. And it all flows out in the next few chapters. And so I put this quote up there because I think it's important. God's standards for marriage, or standard for marriage and family, produces meaning, happiness, blessedness, and reward and fulfillment. And listen to this. And is the only standard that can produce those realities or results. Nothing else can do this. God's design is God's design. And therefore, it only works if we are doing it by His design. And so, as we come to the topic of marriage, and we come to the topic where God will call you, specifically wives today, to something, we have to rock back and go, God's design, God's plan. And if we put anything else there, we won't move forward. There are also two considerations that I want you to keep in mind. And we do this out of honesty and truth today. How many of you know that the world is in absolute disagreement with God's design? We just need to know that. Everything culturally would tell you that what the Word of God says this morning is ridiculous. It's foolish. It's a way to be taken advantage of. It's a way to lose in life. And we have to understand that, because the great challenge today is to trust God's definition of marriage and role and responsibility. Number two, these aren't up there. These are just me talking. You need to know that even though we have God's design has been abused and distorted by sinful spouses. And I'm not talking about the bad ones. I'm talking about y'all. I can use that. I lived in Kansas for a little while. Y'all. I'm saying all of us know what it is to take God's goodness and bend it for our own advantage, don't we? You live long enough and you realize God's still working on you, isn't He? Well, that's in the best case scenario. In the worst, what has happened is God's design has been an excuse. Largely, as we talk about wives submitting to their husbands, for a man to almost treat himself like a king and with his own little kingdom, and then to treat his wife sinfully. And I just say that because you need to know that that is against the design of God. And it is sin, and it dishonors who Jesus Christ is. Understand, that is the connectedness today. This is all in relationship to Jesus Christ. That is both the power of marriage, and it's also the accountability of it. All right, so this is going to be significant. You need to know we're going to walk through the heartstrings of hearts today, and that somehow the living God knows your story. Amen? And He loves you, and we can trust Him as we enter in to this. And so I'm going to pray again. Would you join me? God, it's Mother's Day, and yet here we are talking about wives and marriage, and somehow, God, I just trust that You know what You're doing. And You're going to give grace today. And our deep desire is for encouragement, joy, and freedom. And God, that You would be building powerful, healthy dynamics in marriages that reflect You and give joy. We admit, Lord, as this passage, even in context, said, that we need to be filled with Your Spirit. Because we don't have the strength for all this. But we trust You, Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So let's begin by just putting this question up there. What does God say about marriage? Well, you can understand this in context, because the same thing God says about marriage, He says about parenting, He says about work. He starts, and in verse 21, which was the summary of Pastor Mike's sermon last week, this is what it says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Subject. What does that mean? Somehow, marriage fits under this category of be subject. And it literally means to be living in submission to the design of Jesus Christ. Be subject in marriage, in parenting. Be living in submission to the design of Jesus Christ. At work, be living in submission to the design of Jesus Christ. Be subject. Order yourself under. Let me just tell you this. Christians, if you're here today and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, one of the main identifiers of you is that you embrace submission, you don't reject it. Both as a man or a woman, you embrace getting under. And that is what marks the church. How many of you have ever seen an orchestra perform? Have you ever been there before the thing starts and it sounds like chaos? Why? Because you got all these individual pieces out there and they're all tuning their own instrument and none of it goes together and they're doing runs and the runs compete and it's all over the map. It is not until the conductor steps to the front and he alone determines tempo, pace, entry, that suddenly you have something that is awe-inspiring. In the same way, the Church of Jesus Christ all exists under the authority of Jesus Christ. And it is when we come together, not all of you are in the oboe section. Some of you are percussion. Some of you are, you know, the jazz dude in the back going off. I don't know who you are. But when you are under the authority of Christ, it is a powerful illustration. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. Be subject. How do we do that? Well, he says to do that to one another. Literally, the word subject is a powerful word, submission. It means to arrange yourself under. To get under. What is the church full of? It is full of saved people who are getting under the authority of Jesus Christ. And not only under His authority, we're getting under each other. We are like the anti-world because the world is trying to get over everybody. I want to get my way, my thing, my this. No, you come into the church, what are we? Saved by grace, I now am part of the get under club. That's what we do, submitting to one another. In fact, great quote, I read this in John MacArthur's commentary. He said, every obedient, spirit-filled Christian is a submitting Christian. That should mark us. It should be the determiner of who we are. How do we do that? Well, first of all, friends, how can we be Christians if we do not follow Christ's example? I encourage you again to read Philippians 2, the great kenosis passage. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Now let me ask you, is Jesus any less God than God? Is he any less worthy of glory than the Father or the Spirit? No. But somehow, in the Trinity, and by the way, long before Christ ever came to this earth, there was a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And they have existed throughout beyond time, and they have always existed functionally as one God in three persons who work in perfect harmony in what? Functional submission. The Son has always lived to do the will of the Father. The Spirit has always lived to lift up and make the Son known to the glory of God the Father. And the Father wants to do nothing but to lift His Son up and to see Him be made known. Now let me ask you, if the perfect God can do that, can that exist in marriage? You better believe it. We'll go on to that a little longer. We need to understand that we model Jesus to one another. We get low. We submit. And we submit to all of God's instructions. How do you much, do you know what Christians are? We're obedient people. Doesn't that sound foolish in this world? What are you doing today? I'm obeying. Oh, you weak person. How could you? Oh, no, no. Because God seemed to have accomplished a few things through Jesus Christ's obedience to the Father. Amen? In the same way, that's what we do. And so you look throughout Scripture, we're called to submit to government, we're called to submit to elders, we're called to submit. Why? In fact, one of the marks of our lives should just be this pattern of getting under. So that's how we do. We submit or we arrange ourselves under. Secondly, that means that when we come into the experiences of life, we submit ourselves to God's authority structures, the way He sets them up. That is seen in the next this chapter and into the next. You have these patterns of functional authority. Wives submitting to husbands, children submitting or obeying parents, slaves submitting to masters. And we'll get into the semantics of that, but understand that this is the pattern of, it is a replication of who God is in our lives. Third and finally, and this is probably the key to the whole thing, we submit for the sake of. And if you want a key that unlocks your marriage, you need to write this down, folks. Submission is out of awe and respect for Jesus Christ alone. If you have put, ladies, your husband's worthiness as your reason to submit, you will not submit long. Why? Because he's a broken sinner just like you. He's in the process of sanctification. And all the men said, Amen. So if that's your reason, it's the same thing as when we go next week. Guys, lay down your life for your wife. Well, why would I do that? Out of awe and respect for Christ. When I was in high school, I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp. My camp counselor that week was Chris Kaiser, part of the front line of the Oklahoma Sooners. I was sleeping in. I was deep in my sleeping bag, exhausted from the day before, and all of a sudden a giant paw grabbed me by the front of the shirt, pulled me out of the bag, and I'm not kidding you, I weighed a lot less then, but held me straight out in front of him, and I dangled in one hand of his like a rag doll. And with a huge smile on his face, Chris Kaiser said, "Good morning, boys, it's time to be up." You never saw so many high school dudes move that fast. I was like, what? He can't be human. He was a monstrous man. Out of awe and respect, what did we do? We got out of bed. I can tell you, your issue with submission, whether you are a man or a woman, is not your spouse. It's your view of Christ. He said, that's not fair. It is the only thing that is fair. It is the only thing that sets you free. It is a power that God wants to unleash in your life. So that is the framework. And it doesn't just stop with marriage. You guys, parents, children, obey your parents. How? In the Lord. For the sake of Jesus. Because he's always worthy, even though parents aren't always. Workers, your masters, your bosses, why would you order yourself willingly under the, for the sake of Jesus Christ? That's the pattern. So, knowing that, let's move into the second point. What does God then say to the wife in a marriage? Oh boy, here we go. God says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. I don't know if there's a more contentious verse in the Bible. And it's often because it's misunderstood, but certainly the track record of sin makes this difficult, a whole bunch of things. But let's push back on that. And let's just ask the question, what is God saying to you? What does it mean? Wife, be subject or be submissive to your own husband as to the Lord. Well, what God is saying here, ladies, is for those of you who are wives, he's saying, I want you to be in agreement with me. This is what it means to be submissive. I want you, Jesus would say, to be in agreement with me for the plan of your marriage. I want you to order yourself under what I have called you to do. Be submissive. He says there's an order in marriage, and I want you to join me in the task. All of you who are married know that when you take on a project and husband and wife are doing the project, I would love to tell you it's just been a few times, but I can't tell you how many times. Like, I have a different opinion of how the project should go than my wife. None of this has ever happened to you, right? And literally, suddenly, we are contesting over how the thing should get done. I won't tell you who's usually right, because you already know. all right? It's not me. But I get something in my mind, and I'm just bullied. That is stressful. Suddenly there's conflict. There's like, I know what's better, and you don't. Well, guess what? This isn't talking about contesting your spouse. It's talking about you and Jesus. Because when Kim and I are in agreement, I can tell you, there have been things where it's like we've spent the day projecting together, and at the end of the day, all I do is I just feel so close to her. Somehow we worked in harmony and all this stuff, and things got done. This is the best day in the world. How much better to be in harmony with Christ, your Lord and Savior. Ladies in marriage, men in marriage, that is where joy and its foundation needs to start being built. Because if you're not having joy in the Lord, there's no joy your spouse could ever give you that would contain you or sustain you. It's not built to be that way. So God is saying, be in agreement with me. Now, let's see how serious this gets. First thing he says is, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Listen to this. This is really powerful. He's saying submit regardless. And what do I mean by that? It means that the word wives is not qualified. What do I mean? It does not matter for the wife how, what her background is, what her education is, what her spiritual maturity is, what her giftedness is. It means nothing. There's no category of wife that gets exempt from this command. That's what God's saying. And we all swallow hard, but that's exactly what he's saying. He said, every wife, I want you to do, and then you can go out beyond that and likewise understand it this way. It doesn't matter your husband's intelligence. It doesn't matter your husband's character or attitude or even spiritual condition. There are no qualifications. And something inside me goes, yikes, how can God say something like that? But that's what he says. This seems crazy to the world because we're so prone to love and respect according to condition. And yet God comes in and says, for my sake, I want you to do something for my sake, no matter who you are and no matter who you're married to. And that is reflected throughout the New Testament. This is what the world would call foolish. But in the words of that deep biblical philosopher, Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off. You have no idea the joy of using a Karate Kid illustration at this stage of my life. Like, you think it's gone forever. It's not. Why would I even use something that silly? Because something that seems to be apparently fruitless and without wisdom and exhausting and hard is producing something that only God can do. Submit regardless. But here's his qualification. Submit within. Submit within. Notice this phrase, to your own husbands. Everybody listen to me. We make this statement. We need to make it as strong as it can be. Ladies, you are not a second-class citizen. You are a co-equal image bearer of the living God. You are not less in any way, shape, or form. This is such a key point. If you go to Galatians 3:28, it makes it very clear. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ. This is so important to know because this is where things have slipped off the rails and have been abusive before, almost treating women as if they are somehow inferior and that's why men got called to lead. That is not the case at all. You got called to lead because it was a design that reflected who Jesus Christ was. Don't pat yourself on the back. This was all about God. And how many of us in the room are sinners who needed him? And we all got saved on the basis of the same Jesus, amen? And I could go on about this, but you need to know this is not. So here's an important phrase. It's worth writing down. In God's economy, especially when it comes to marriage, equality of worth is not equality of role. And what I've just said to you is the battleground of our culture. because they cannot somehow believe that a woman can have equality of worth if she is functioning different within her role in marriage. And that is an absolute contradiction to the world we live in. Don't try to make it easy because that's what's going on. But God would say to you that this is not. He's saying, look, I am calling to you to reflect me in the relationship that I have given you. But there is no second-class citizenship in the body of Jesus Christ. There is no somehow women are less and men are more. That is nothing of truth in Scripture. And we need to hold on to that. And ultimately, it comes back to the same point. We submit for the sake. It says, as to the Lord. Now, I want to be real clear about something. This does not mean, wives, that you treat your husband like he's the Lord. You did not marry Jesus. Amen? It's okay. You can amen. We're safe in here. But you submit to your husband because you love the Lord. That's the difference. You are doing this first and foremost for the sake of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound so unromantic? But if you are really frustrated with your husband, just look him in the eyes. I promise Jesus. Here's your... No, I don't know what you do. But the truth is, you are doing this not because of who he is or what he has done. You are doing this first and foremost as to the Lord. This is something between you and Jesus. And so I would just tell you, as I will tell the men next week, the issues of marriage start with you in Christ. Every time. And it is so tempting to leave him out of the conversation, isn't it? I just make it about you. What you did, what you didn't do, da 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 da. And God says, no, don't do that. We do this. A wife orders herself willingly in agreement with God under the authority of her husband. Only her husband. Not another guy. Her own relationship. She sees that God has called her to be a partner with this man and to lovingly support him in what God has called him to do as well. And believes that. And makes it about Christ first. That's really important. And what we don't understand is that the power that this unleashes in marriage. A couple of years after my father died, my wife and I drove back up to Fallon, Nevada, where he pastored for many, many years. And when we got there, the car we were driving had mechanical issues. And so I took it into Tedford Tire. The Tedfords have been part of my dad's church. Kenny Tedford Jr., he worked there. And I remember we took it in. I heard about what was needed. We were trying to figure out how we're going to make it. I go to pick up my car, and he walks out, and he hands me the invoice and says, you're all good. I said, well, what do I owe you? And he starts to cry. And he says, I loved your dad. And he turned and he walked away. You know what is so humbling about that? Was that I was loved not for the sake of anything of me. Now don't get me wrong. God wants romantic love and a passionate affection and an appreciation of who your spouse is and all the things we want to be loved for. But if you build your life and your roles in marriage upon those realities, they will fail. You know what cannot fail? When you are loved for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it is so humbling. It brings you to your knees because I'm handed an invoice and I realize I didn't earn it. I couldn't do anything to get it. I don't deserve it, but it has been lavished upon me. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, women, the most powerful thing that you do in your marriage is not all the tasks, not all the exhausting things that you could pile up. And let me tell you, there are so many reasons to celebrate wives for what they do above and beyond in our lives. And men, we will do a little more of that next week. But understand this, when you love your husband and do not repent of God's design, what becomes understood in his mind and his heart is suddenly there is room for me to be where I am. Because I'm a weak man. I don't know how to communicate with you. I came out of the model that I had growing up, and it didn't do certain things very well. I have pride. Don't you know how scared to death I am that you're going to find out how much I don't know? Don't you realize how afraid I am that the hypocrisy of my own life is going to spill out? And you're going to wake up and realize you didn't marry a worthy man, you married an unworthy man who desperately needs Jesus, but doesn't even know how to need Him well. And suddenly, a wife who has every reason to pull the respect card, who has every reason to bail on submission, turns and says, "You know you hurt me. I know we need to work on that, but in this moment, I love you. I need you to know that. And I'm still for you. I'm not going to talk to you for the next hour, but I'm still for you." And you know, suddenly that guy thinks, "Wow, maybe I'll just risk it just for a second. Well, you know, honey, I have not known how to talk to you about that for a long time." And all of a sudden, a conversation starts that can never start apart from Jesus Christ. And suddenly grace begins to flow. And suddenly there's room to be exactly who we are, sinners saved by grace. Ladies, do you know how many men truly love you and treat you like dirt? And you know what? There's no excuse for their sin. But they are afraid. So nobody tells you this. Half the time we get married and it's like my 15 strengths and her 15 strengths. Now we're 30 plus. You married a mountain of weakness. Both parties. Amen? And somehow God wants to be glorified in that. Well, how will that ever happen if all we've got is our best performance? God died to set us free, people. Amen? How does that work functionally? Ladies, there's nothing easy about what I just said. It will take, being filled with the Spirit to pull that off. Amen? But that's what God's given you. And He wants you to have a peace. Here's the thing. I'm totally off script at this point. I don't mind saying it. You want to be in the interior of your husband's heart so badly. That's what love is. You were created to be his helper. And the most hurtful thing that's ever happened to you as a wife is when he won't let you help. Amen? And you feel like why is he punishing you for wanting to do the very thing God's created you to do? But you see, the thing that happens is that the devil gets in there and he is just constantly feeding marriages this lie. You will only love me. You will only respect me. You will only follow me if I am strong and I have my heart and my life put together and I'm consistent and you've let me know 15 times you're ticked about my inconsistency. Oh, let's not get real, Pastor John. And why do I find her... Do you know the greatest moment in a man's heart? When he finds his wife feeling safe in his love. You think you've got to come to your husband all put together too. But when you turn, and beyond the frustration of it all working, those words come out because He's moving your way. I'm scared. I'm hurting. No, don't try to fix it. Just listen. You know how this goes. And suddenly he realized she trusts him. You guys, God wants to do something powerful in marriage. So he doesn't flippantly say these things. Ultimately, we need to understand just a couple of things. We submit for the sake of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not going to finish totally, but that's all right. Number three, why would God say this to you? Why would God come up with this kind of plan? And again, if you hear nothing before, ladies, as God brings this topic before you, you have to run to Jesus Christ. It only makes sense in Jesus Christ. First of all, this is His perfect design for relationship. Why? It's built off Him and His relationship with His Father and His relationship with the Spirit. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. What you need to know is that marriage and the design of how there would be functional authority within marriage, that happened before the fall. You find this before sin ever entered the world. Adam and Eve, God saw that Adam was alone, and He said, not a good plan, I will create him a helper. And you all know the imagery. He didn't take a bone out of the top of his head so there would be a partner who was ahead of him that he would be subservient to, and he didn't take it out of his heel because he didn't want a person who was under the heel of this man. No, he took it right out of his side, saying, this is a co-equal partner. This is powerful. This is partnership. And I will give you something powerful. By the way, many people have tried to take this passage, and I've used the word authority, and I know that could even sting, but they've tried to take the word head, for the husband is head of the wife, and they've tried to make that translated source instead of authority. Here's the problem with that. It doesn't work. All of the contextual, grammatical, historical, hermeneutical evidence is that that is not what that word means. That word means truly authority. The husband is somehow supposed to be in authority over his bride, and that came from God. This is not inferiority, but divine order. To say that that is evil, you would have to say Jesus Christ submitting to the Father is evil. So that's why you can say that's it's not evil. What we could go on and say is that, but it is certainly challenged. How many of you know that this plan since the fall has been a source of contention? It's been painful, you guys. There's all sorts of stuff. Ladies, you probably know this verse from Genesis. After the fall, He said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. And all the moms said, amen. In pain you shall bring forth children. But He said, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Both of these terms are not good. That word desire means I will seek to control him. And this is what happens. Instead of submitting yourself to Jesus Christ and believing God's plan, what you do in marriage is instead you retreat into a place of manipulation. And seeking to have him perform in such a way that would give you security. So you will use whatever tactical means that you have to come up with to get him to do what you want to do. Now let me tell you, ladies, you know that man better than anyone on the planet. You know his weak spots. You know how to get him. And you can take his knees out any day of the week. You know it. Amen? Don't say amen. You know it. And so you begin to do that. How many of you know that is not received well? In fact, God would say, don't do that. It's not wrong, the communication, it's needed in marriage. But manipulation and control and to seek to rule over what God has said, don't do that. Equally sinful is the man's response. When it says he will rule over you, it means that he will go way beyond what God has said. And he will subject you, he will treat you like a second-class citizen, he will dominate you with his strength and his anger, and all of the yuck of marriage that is there has happened as a result of that. You see these two differing things that were part of the fall. So how do we move forward with the plan? Can I just tell you something? The plan of God broke the power of sin. Amen? And Jesus Christ's work on the cross set us free from sin and death. And the same plan and the same submission and the same trust of the Father can overcome any broken marriage in the world. I do not tell you that because of pie in the sky. I say that because it is the Word of God. God can do that. That's His plan. Look what He has accomplished with functional submission. And it's unbelievable. It's His perfect design. It's also His accountable design. If you look at verse 24, it says this. We might finish. I don't know. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Wow. The Bible is saying that just like the church needs to seek to live in submission to Jesus Christ, God says that's kind of what He wants you to do. He wants you to seek to live within the sphere of your husbands. I know that's hard, but that's what He's asking. He wants us to do that. And then He says, oh, and this is killer. He says, in everything. And look, I am the first guy to admit, she really doesn't need me for that. I can be honest with you. I married a woman far smarter than myself. And she's not in here, so I can just go off and praise her if I want to. But the truth is, it is hard for us to hear something like that because it sounds like God just wants you to get under and have no personality or life of your own. But that's not exactly what He's saying. What He's saying is, ladies, don't buy the lie that your submission and your life are compartmentalized. Don't seek to have what you do with your husband and then just live for your own space. Live to do and accomplish your means apart from Him. The Bible was very clear that when you got married, you became one. And God wants you to have blessing that happens not when every little thing you do, it's not reporting in everything. It has nothing to do with that. It is recognizing that you are in a married as one relationship to the glory of God. And God blesses you as you seek to say, how is my life contributing to what God has said? It's very powerful. So I think I have time. And I hope these are clarifying remarks. Point four. So what does this and does it not look like? A couple of real challenges to you ladies and then some real challenges back to us as men. First, submission starts by removing loopholes. Biblical submission. What do I mean by that? It means our heart wants to create ways to get out from under the accountability God's given us. And they're not light things. You can almost see in a woman's heart, a wife hearing this, I would submit to my husband if he would just love me as the Bible says. But how can I submit to him when he is so selfish and insensitive? I am not telling you that he's not really selfish. No, he may be very selfish. And he may be being insensitive. But the enemy would like you to do one thing, to give yourself an out. To agree that you don't need to worry about submission because of his performance. And I think the scarier thing is to go, God, help me not to look for the wrong loopholes. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about things that God would call red flag, this is bad. I'm saying, don't look for ways to excuse yourself from this. God says that's not what you need to do. A second thing that I think is helpful to understand is that submission begins in your mind. Submission begins in the way that you think. That's the battleground. How many of you would agree in life that's the battleground? And here's the dangerous thing that can happen is that God wants you to respect your husband, he says that in Scripture, desire to bless him. But really what has happened is a lot of women have even stayed in marriages a long time, and what they've agreed to do is just tolerate their husband. I'm not seeking to submit to him, I'm tolerate him. It looks like submission. I'm not going AWOL, I'm not in rebellion, I'm not anything. But inwardly, you are always looking for escape. Inwardly, your heart is living to get separated. I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about just to get space. That is a dangerous place. And I'm not telling you it's not real broken stuff. But I'm saying that the battle begins to go, God, let me again, in my mind and heart, center on Christ. You know, that's what Christ calls us to in Romans. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you think about biblical submission, it begins in your mind. Don't immediately come up with a list of why you've done it and here's the 8 things you've done. Let God take you to an even more personal place. Let Him push you back into the way that you think. And then ask Him, how's this going? Another one is that it will be reflected in your words. I got to tell you this. There's nothing more painful than seeing a wife absolutely be in agreement with God about her husband supposed to be the leader, and then to watch her verbally belittle him for the job he's doing. I'm not saying he's doing a good job, but to be in agreement with God and then to verbally tear him down. How many of you know that men are verbally brought to life? We can live 8 years on a compliment. But when all we hear is the shortfalling of what we're doing as husbands, it just takes us to a very resistant place. So, a good question to ask are your words kind? Are they encouraging? It may be the first time he's attempted to do anything. Is your immediate response, you didn't do it for 8 times? Or is there room to grace to say thank you? Some people feel like you're denying your own heart when you get in that spot. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is important. Now, a couple of really big cautions, because this may seem very unfair, and you have all been very quiet. I'm praying you'll still love your pastor at the end, but you need to know that submission is not a blanket yes. Ladies, this is important. Submission in your lives is not a blanket yes. When it says to order yourself under the authority of your husband, that does not mean yes to everything he wants. God has none of that. He's called you to be his partner. In fact, it does not mean that you say yes to every demand, especially if he is doing that, and it's all that you do by saying yes is to foster him being lazy or irresponsible. God does not call you to say yes to that. He does not call you to do that. If your husband is dumping his spiritual responsibilities upon you, though it would be very hard, that is a moment to say, no, this is not right. This is not true. This is what Scripture says. You'll need to talk to him. That's scary, but that's a no. It also, when it says be submissive in everything, it does not include sin. If your husband asks you to do something that is in violation of Scripture, the answer is flat no. Whether he's married or unmarried, I mean, whether he's a believer or an unbeliever, no. God never calls you to walk into sin. And I think you need to be specific about that. If he asks you to do something sexually immoral, that's no. That's no. If he asks you to lie for him, to cheat, that's a no. If he asks you to stop going to church, that's a no. Because you are called as a child of God, and there is an authority over you, and you can't violate his to obey the other. And so God wants you to know. And ladies, and maybe men, I just want to be very personal with you for a second. You have no idea what your wife's no has cost her. Her desire is to love you and to support you. And she is your helpmate before God, who knows you better than anyone else. And when she works up the courage, and let me tell you, it is fearful courage to come to you and to address something that she knows is wrong. And all she gets from you in that moment is your prideful, angry response. You are insulting your Savior. Hear me. It's a precious thing. That moment you have a woman who is risking your hurt to help you? Wow! If God will give you the courage to not run in that moment, you will see something miraculous turn, and she will suddenly go from hurting in her heart to being amazed that you heard her response, and it may be everything in you, man, to turn in that moment and go, This is all you may get out. Okay. Okay. I can remember moments where I literally would sit in silence. I remember I sat in silence for almost an hour with Kim across from me. And all I could say every 15 minutes was, okay. And then finally, I'm sorry. I wish I had done that so much more often, you guys. But I'm telling you, this moment is submission is not agreement with men walking apart from Jesus. It is lovingly to know that they're called to support us, to get behind us. But when we ask them to tread into things that take them out of their relationship with God, that's wrong. And God give us the courage, men, to at that vulnerable moment to see the beauty of true partnership. Because that is your bride not wanting you to walk off the side of a cliff. It may be her just wanting to have you have another piece of her heart. It's not a blanket yes. Are you guys okay if I finish? I really am going long. I ask that like you're going to get up and rebel. It's so awful. Let me just say this. It's not passivity, inferiority, or spiritual suppression. Ladies, God has not called you in your relationships with your husband to be passive. Submissive is not passive. Passive just throws up your hands and says, I'll go along with anything. As long as there's not conflict, I'll just go. God's not asking you to do that. God's asking you to humbly and kindly express your dissatisfaction with the broken things in your marriage. That's hard to do. But again, men, she needs to do that, and you and I need to hear it. It's not inferiority. Guys, God has called you to be a manager of your household. One of the best things you will ever do as a manager is recognize that you really needed help, and God has given you a partner that is much better than you at so many things. And it is not to keep her, and this is the greatest broken that I think that happens. When a man is insecure in his marriage, he wants to keep his wife at level with him or below. Because if she goes beyond him, she's going to reveal he's inadequate. God, help us, men. You have an incredible gift in your life, in your spouse. And she is gifted and talented and can help you. And if you find that she has things where she is out beyond you, you should be throwing a parade and supporting her and helping her be who God created her to be. Finally, it's not spiritual suppression. In the same way, I wish this weren't true, but I think it's true that in a lot of marriages, men have struggles sharing their spiritual life with their wife. And again, it's for fear that we're going to be inadequate. We won't do it well. But what often can happen, men, is instead of celebrating your wife's relationship with the Lord or her spiritual gifts, you become threatened by it. And so you put a hand over it. You clamp it down. You try to suppress it. I will tell you, as a pastor, I'm probably more guilty of this than any of you. As I have been married to an incredibly godly woman, I remember the first 7 years of my marriage. Stop! Because I'm the pastor. God forgive me. It's easy to do. And you miss out on the joy watching God use the gift to you. One final thing. It is such joy, ladies. You say, how can you say that? You're not a woman. You don't know. You've not been through it. You're right. I've only been the recipient of it. Today, because of the loving submission of my wife, I know Jesus Christ better. I know my children better. I've learned how to walk with my kids in ways I didn't know how to do. And it has been a lot of trial and a lot of error. And it's never been perfect. Kim and I have tripped in every way that you guys have, maybe more gloriously. But you need to know that she has loved me for the sake of Jesus Christ. And far from making me feel less than, it makes me love her so much more. It's awesome. So ladies, we're not going to close with a worship song, and I apologize, worship team. I've taken too much time. But I want to pray for you. Is God wants to unleash something in power. And we think it's getting everything lined up exactly, and we got to fix all these broken issues. And if we can just get it all done, and God would come to you and say, before you bring the bliss of the brokens, before you do all of that, God just wants to take you back in and just say, ladies, can you experience the love of Jesus Christ just for a little bit? And look upon His worthiness and what He has accomplished in the model that He has set up. And then you need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. Some pains in marriage, some growth issues, you've been at them for a long time. You wonder, could anything, what could God do? And some of you, we're not all in crisis all the time. How many of you know marriage is a roller coaster? And a week can involve a lot of things. But God over time is saying, I would show you my power. And it begins with a surrendering to Jesus Christ and a believing that His plan can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what the world can do. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I feel a fear and trepidation, but it's not over how, it's not for me, it's for this moment. God, marriage is the most personal place. It's one of the most personal, not everyone here is married, but God, it is one of the most personal things, Lord, you know this. You took two people, made them one, and that's not all of the good, it's all of the need of growth. And God, I just want to pray for every wife in this place. And I want to thank you, God, for her. For where she is. For where she's striven in her relationship after you. For her heart, for her husband and her kids. And Lord, also for the weightiness of words like this upon her heart. Would you pour out grace upon her? Would you give her a vision of focusing in on you? And God, would you let the power of that be manifested in her relationship? Would you give her victory, God? That's what you promise in this passage. Lord, if we submit to you, you are the one who has rescued the body of Christ. And Lord, you will be the one who gives strength and power to our marriages. So we love you, Lord. We pray these things. In Christ's name, amen.